I've been going through the series by Gerald Sitzer, and it is called Love One Another. And in this series, we've been looking at these different aspects of one anotherness. You know, what does it mean? What does it really look like to love one another? And we've gone through a bunch of different topics, and hopefully as you kind of look at these different lists of how to love one another, that there's one or two things that kind of will stand out to you guys, kind of remember, oh yeah, this is, you know, how we can love one another. Welcome, be subject to one another, forbear, forgive, confess and pray, serve one another, and last week to encourage one another. This week, we are talking about comforting one another. And to be honest, some of you guys, this might be a difficult message to hear or listen to, because it might bring up some past hurts, some past things that, you know, that you guys have gone through, that is tough, that you guys had to suffer through. But I hope, I really hope that at the end of this message, that you would be encouraged, that you would really be able to see, and that, hey, you know, there is something, there is a hope that is out there. Or possibly right now you are going through one of these seasons in your life where things are just are really hard. And I hope that, again, that this would be an encouragement. This is the verse that Sitzer, the book that we've been going through, that he has kind of based this chapter around. It comes from 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, and says, "Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God." So before we jump into the message for today, why don't we go ahead and pray first. Father God, I want to thank you again for this morning. I thank you for this time that we can come and gather together, that we can worship you fully this morning in the whole idea of God, Father, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three in one. And we pray that this morning as we get into your word, that you would continue to speak to us, that you would challenge us, that you would comfort us if we are going through difficult times. And so, yeah, we just lift this time up to you. May you just bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the my favorite introductions from Pixar movies, if you guys are into Pixar, one of my favorite intros is from the movie Up. If you guys have not seen it, I'm going to spoil it for you, at least the first 5 minutes of the movie. I'm sorry about that, but you guys should watch it. It's really good. It is one where you walk through the story of this couple, Carl and Ellie, and there's no words, there's no dialogue. It's just music, and you just see them go through their life. And so if you don't haven't seen it before, let me kind of go ahead and walk you through the first 5 minutes of this movie, all right? You start off, you're seeing this wonderful couple, Carl and Ellie, and they are just married. They're having a good time, and they go through life together. They buy a house, they repair it. It's a broken down home, but they fix it up, and they, you know, they get their home that they're building. They spend a lot of time together. They go out on dates and, you know, look up at the clouds and kind of reminisce and think, and they see different shapes, and eventually they start seeing shapes in the clouds of animals and then shapes of babies, and they're like, oh, babies, yeah, that'd be really great. Let's start a family. Sadness, get ready to have your tissues out. Tragedy happens, tragedy strikes them. Baby doesn't happen. They have a miscarriage, and they're hurt, they're broken, there's sadness kind of in that. But, you know, Carl and decides, hey, you know what, let's kind of move on from this and let's plan for the future, just us two. They decide to think ahead and say, you know, we're going to go to Paradise Falls. Okay, this is this place, we can travel together, we can do this. And so they start saving up. They walk by every day trying to save up coins, save up money, trying to do all these things to go on this trip together. But as life happens, things go wrong, unexpected things happen. And so, you know, what happens, they have to take money from that savings, right? Flat tire, got it. Oh, broken house, got it. You know, people get injured, got to take money out. So they never end up going on, you know, this trip together. They grow old, they do, together, but eventually, you know, the wife gets sick, and the scene at the real end, before any dialogue happens, you see Carl sitting there by himself, you know, after his wife has passed away. Tears, right? Oh, so sad. It is. It was really touching. If you guys haven't seen it, you should watch it. All of us in our lives, we are going to go through times of hardships. We are going to go through times of just pain. There will be times where we don't know why God things go the way it is. Jesus says this. He actually says that in this world, you know, you are going to have trials. You are going to have tribulations. You are going to have hardships, right? But he says this to give you peace, that he has overcome the world. And this morning, the hope that I want to give you guys, the hope that I want you guys to hold on to, is that there is something greater that we can hold on to, which is Christ and what he has done for us. But as we know, we do all go through these difficult times. Now, for some of us, it will look different, right? There's a lot of different ways that people suffer. A lot of it, loss comes in a lot of different shapes and forms. For some of us, it will be death, right? Death of a loved one, death of someone that was close to us. For some, maybe it's a miscarriage, right? That's a loss of somebody as well. There's some that people don't like to talk about. People might have lost someone through because of suicide. There's divorce that can happen. That's a loss of, you know, broken relationships, being rejected by others. And it can go through a lot of different things, right? We go through all these things. Loss of just even your job. I know that compared to, like, death might not seem like such a big thing. But for some people, that is, you know, getting fired and having that can be a great loss that you can go through. And so people, as you kind of think about it, we all go through losses in our lives. We all go through kind of these things. And I want us, hopefully, to start off this, not to get you guys all sad and depressed, but for us to see that, hey, you know, we do go through these things in life together, and that we can together be able to kind of come out of it at the end. Okay, so we all go through these things. We all go through these hardships. But we are here to hopefully be there to comfort one another. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the letters to the Corinthians, and where the passage is kind of based off of, he has gone through a lot. And in 2 Corinthians, he kind of writes, or 1 Corinthians, he kind of writes to the church, and he kind of talks about just the suffering that he goes through. He's like, you know what, this is all the things that I've gone through, right? And a lot of this is physical stuff for him. But he's been imprisoned multiple times. He's been beaten up multiple times. You know, he said, flogged five times, beaten with rods, stoned three once. He's been shipwrecked. He's been in danger from rivers and robbers and Jews and Gentiles in the city, in the wilderness, at sea, from false brothers, people who backstab him, right? He's had toil in his hardship. He has sleepless nights. He's been hungry. He's been thirsty, often going without food. He's cold. He has no shelter. All these things happen to Paul, right? And Paul's saying, I have gone through a lot of just trials, tribulations, hardships. He has, you know, seen, you know, his brothers get martyred and stuff like that. He has gone through all these things, hardships. And yet, he says this. He says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God. So Paul writes, and he tries to give an encouragement to those who are currently in the middle of suffering. Perhaps for some of you guys who have gone through this, and there's still some stuff there, that he encourages you guys, hey, there is comfort to be had. Gerald Sitzer, who writes the book, again, that we're kind of basing all of this off of, he too has gone through some tragedy, some hardship in his life. He shares a story in this chapter how his wife, his daughter, and mother all were killed at the same time in a drunk car accident. Can you imagine that? You know, just three people, lives taken from you just like that, unexpected, out of nowhere. And yet, so he had to go through a lot of this. And so he writes from a place of, you know, how can we really comfort one another? What does that really look like? What does that really look like? So he gives us a couple of things for what we can do. And hopefully this is where we can put these things into practice. He says this, the first thing that we really need to do if we want to, you know, comfort one another is we need to come alongside each other, right? We need to really be there and say, hey, you know what? I want to, you know and spend time with those who are hurting. Sister says that grief is often a really lonely place, right? When you lose somebody or something that is really important and great to you, you go through this alone. And even though other people might go through the similar thing or same exact thing, not exact thing, but you know, losing a loved one or something, the situations are different, right? The situations are unique to each person because of who they are, their background, the circumstances revolving around that situation. And so, you know, each person's kind of grief is their own. And it's important for us, as people who want to comfort those who are hurting, to really understand them, okay? To really come by and to be there with them. I think it's easy for people to kind of say, oh, you know, kind of assume things like, oh, yeah, you know, I've lost somebody too, and so you must be going through this exact same thing that you are. And it's not, right? People, again, it's different, right? Or people might just say, oh, yeah, I've heard of this before, and so this is what you should do. And it's easy for us to kind of just give advice to people who are hurting, like, oh, you know, just do this or do that, instead of really kind of sitting down and really, like, listening to them, right? Really kind of understanding their hurts, their circumstances, really understanding, you know, what they're going through. And so the first thing that we need to do is to do that, okay? Is to really spend time with those who are hurting, to really go and just say, hey, you know, I want to come alongside you here, you know, and it's going to be, you know, difficult, you know, it's going to be hard, but talk to me, you know, and I want to hear you. You know, I want to know just what you're feeling, right? I don't want to just not hear just to try to give you advice, not just to hear just to say, all right, move on. But what is it that you're going through? How can I be there for you? Sister says this. He says, good comforters make room in their lives for broken people. Comfort demands sacrificial change. If it's safe and convenient, if it's offered on one's own term, that's not comfort, right? It's easy for us to say, all right, I'm going to comfort you, but let me do my things first, and then when I take care of them, then I'll come to you and be alongside with you, right? No, right? That's not true comfort. So hopefully for us that we would be able to make that sacrifice for others, for those who are hurting, for those who are going through those difficult situations, those times. Say, you know what? I'm going to drop this. That might be kind of important to me right now, but I'm going to spend time with you, be there with you through this to listen, you know, to you and understand you, right? So that's kind of the first thing for us, is to really come alongside one another when those are hurting, for those who are hurting, yeah, come alongside. The second thing that he says is this, is that the process of grief is good, okay? A lot of times we hope and we wish, right? We wish that, you know, the hardship comes in our life and then we just move on and that's it, right? It's a straight, easy, simple road. You know, we just go, we go through it and then we move on. But that's not the case, right? Grief is difficult, it is tough, it is messy, it takes a lot of going back and forth, a lot of emotional stuff that people go through. And it takes time, right, for grief to kind of run its course. And so what we need to do as comforters is we need to be there to go with them through that process, right, and to say that, hey, you know, go through that. You know, it is important for us to grieve. Grieving is good. You know, Charlie Brown always says, you know, good grief, but I'm going to get to that later. But it is. It really is good. A lot of times also from what Sister says is a lot of times when somebody loses something, somebody special or something great to them, they kind of lose their identity, right? And it's a place where they're kind of wandering around and they don't really know kind of who they are. If you can imagine it, right? If somebody loses their spouse, you know, they were a husband and now they're not. You know, they're a wife and now they are, but they're not, right? And their kind of identity gets kind of shaken, right? Or they lose a child and, you know, they were parents, but now they're not really, they are, but not. And their kind of identity gets shaken. And so a lot of times, if you think about these people who go through these losses, you know, it takes a long time sometimes, right, for them to kind of come out of that. But it's important, again, for them to go through that process It's important for them to go through that. Again, grief is good, instead of this whole good grief, like, oh, whatever, good grief. But grief is good, right? And it leads to healing, and it leads to a place where they can be able to move forward. And so if you are, in again, somebody who knows somebody who's going through a difficult time, who's suffering because of a loss, come alongside them and walk them through that. Help them, you know, let them know that it's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to grieve. It's good. You know, you should have those emotions. You should be able to, you know, come out and do all that. That's all part of this grieving process, and it's good. But walk them through that. Okay. And the next thing that sister says, something that we could do, is that it is important for us to really provide practical help, right? Listening is good, right? Being there with them is good. You know, being a support, shoulder to cry on, all that stuff is important and good. But a lot of times, some of the best things that we could do is actually provide just practical help. Right? And sister says, hey, you know, why don't you think about, if somebody is going through a loss, to actually provide some practical help. So what are some things that we can do? Right? He says, well, how about, you know, you can cook them a meal, right? Sometimes people are in such a hard shape, they don't even, you know, want to eat, or they're, you know, so depressed. Cook them a meal, you know, bring them food, help them to buy their groceries, you know, go and do that for them, or help them with their, you know, picking up their kids from school, or dropping them off their kids from school, you know, doing that for them. How about do some of their chores, you know, come over, help them, help around the house, you know, clean, do the dishes, take out the trash, mow the lawn, whatever it is, kind of a thing that we can just, hey, I'm here to actually do stuff for you. Right? Because you are going through this time, it's hard, it's difficult. You need to go through your mourning process and your grieving process, but I'm here to practically help you. Finances, you know, let me help you with your finances. Let me do some of these things for you. So those are all kind of practical things, and I'm sure there's a lot more that you can think of. But think of those things, you know. Instead of just saying, you know, I'm here for you, actually say, hey, I'm going to come over, you know, I'm going to bring you food. I'm going to do this for you. You know, I'm going to, you know, help you out in this way. A lot of times, you know, people might reject that or don't want to be helped, but at least, you know, you're trying, you're helping, you're trying to provide that practical service for them. And I think that's really helpful. So keep that in mind for those of people who are going through stuff that, you know, hey, how can you, yeah, what do they need? How can you help, you know, to be a good practical help? Another thing to be reminded of is to follow up with them. It's easy for us to, again, kind of do a one-time thing, like, oh, you know, you've had your tragedy, you've had your suffering, I'm here for you once, right? And then you forget, and that's it. I've done my good deed, I've helped them out, and then I kind of move on with my own life. But true kind of comforters, right, people who really are there for one another, it's a constant thing. So remember to, you know, follow up, go back again, you know, check in time and time again, you know, a week, a month, couple months, you know, keep checking in with them so that they can know that, hey, they're still there. You're still there for them. And it's not just, again, a one-time thing, right? So all these things, again, are things that we can do practically to be thinking about how can we comfort one another. One of the things that sister continues to go on, he says, is a lot of times what can happen, though, and we need to be aware of, is that it's not just one death that they kind of suffer through, but it's the second death. And what he's talking about here is this bitterness that people go through. So again, kind of coming back to the story of Up, if you guys know that. When we first meet Carl now, and he starts actually talking, he's a really bitter old man, right? He is angry, he has a lot of hatred, he has a lot of kind of stuff in his heart that, again, because of what happened, that he's holding on to. And he's not a, you know, happy guy. And sister says this, he says that, you know, a lot of times the first death happens to us, right, whatever that circumstance is, but the second kind happens in us, right? And there's kind of this death of the soul that people kind of, you know, they get depressed and they get bitter and they get angry and they kind of hold on to these things. And we need to be aware that people need to go through that process of grief, but if they don't continue on, then they're going to, you know, have the second, quote-unquote, death, that's what he calls it, where they become really angry and hold on to stuff, resentment, right, that they hold on to. And so it's important for us as encouragers, as comforters, what we can do is that we need to go into what he says, caution and challenge. We need to do both of these things, to caution these people and say, hey, you know what? You're starting to get, you know, more and more depressed, or let's help you out of this. You know, let's work through these things. You know, okay, I'm challenging you to see the light that's at the end of the tunnel, right, and not to just get stuck in where you are. And so for us as comforters, we need to do that. Yeah, we need to be. This is what he says. We need to do more than understand and serve, but we must also caution and challenge. We must be vigilant as well as sympathetic. We must challenge the grieving to be death-hating and life-affirming, right? To not let that grief kind of eat away at them, to not just have that eat away so that they become so bitter and angry. And so for us to come by, okay, this is part of what we should do as comforters. Caution those, yeah, challenge them. Hey, let's move on. Now for some of us today, and maybe recently, again, we are going through these difficult situations in our lives. What are some things for us to do now? You know, how can we be able to kind of move forward in these things? And so there are three things that we can do, three things that we can hopefully work towards if we are currently going through, you know, these times of suffering, hardships. The first thing that he says is this whole thing, that we need to keep on moving, right? You guys need to know that there is something next to go forward to. The thing for me that I really want to kind of challenge and encourage is this, is that we're not trying to replace the past. We're not trying to forget the past. It's not that we're saying these things didn't happen, is not meaningful, because they are. But it's for us to kind of change our perspective, our view, to see that, hey, you know what? There is something different, and that is fine, and it's good, and that we can still be able to have a new experience, a new thing that we can look forward to, a new thing that we can dream towards, and not, again, just be stuck kind of in that past. So again, it's not discounting what happened. It's not trying to say, hey, just forget it and move on. Come on, get over it. But to say, hey, we understand that was hard and difficult. Life is different now. But hey, you know what? It's okay. It's good. We could still, there's still, you know, different things and different new experiences that we can have in this new situation that you're in. Okay? So move forward. That's one of the things for us to be reminded of, is say, you know, we go through that process. We go through that suffering. But let's move forward, right? Let's see something new that we can kind of hold on to or go towards. Another thing that we should do is we should find a community of believers, people who we can come to have around and support us, right? This is how we can comfort one another. We don't need to go through our suffering, our hardships alone, right? This isn't even though it is a lonely process, you know, don't go through it alone. Find people that you can come alongside with you and be with. And I really hope that Canaan, our church, that we are this type of community. I really hope that, you know, we would be the ones that can really understand and comfort one another. I really appreciate just the small groups that we have that I've been a part of, our young adult ones, where there's times for us just to share and to pray. And, you know, we might not always, again, go through these tragedies, and we don't always, you know, share all the deepest things. But that is a place for that, you know, where we can be able to trust each other and say, hey, you know, this is tough. I need prayer. You know, I need that support. It's kind of cool. Every month, I meet up with a bunch of pastors, six other pastors, and we together, same thing. We kind of go through that time of just being able to share and pray for one another. And about family, about ministry, just, you know, hardships that might come up, and just to really support one another. And that's what community is about, right? That we can go through these things together. And so if you are going through something, if you are going through some sort of suffering or tragedy, you know, reach out. Reach out to us. Reach out to these people in this room who can come beside you. And also, hopefully for us who are not going through anything possibly right now, that we can be observant, right? That we can be able to ask people, hey, you know, how are you doing? How are you really doing? right? We always say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. All right, that's cool. And then we just kind of move on, right? But no, how are you really doing? Right? Is there stuff? How can I really pray for you? How can I really support you? You know, how can I really go through? And hopefully that we will be a community, again, a place where people are open, who are vulnerable, who are honest, again, who can kind of share these things, because that's what we want. We want to be there for each other so that we can comfort one another. Okay, so find that community. Hopefully Canaan is that for you, and that you have those people kind of built in to support you. And the last thing that we have to do and what we can really hopefully cling on to is this. We have a hope in Christ, okay? We know that there is something, that this life on earth is a temporary thing, that these pain and sufferings that we go through, again, is only a temporary thing, but there's something greater, there's something better that we can look forward to. Good comforters offer hope, right? They point towards the hope that we have, and we have that hope in Christ because of what he's done for us. John, who wrote the book of Revelations, he writes this. He says that in the future, right, in heaven, this is what's going to happen. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. You know, all these things are gone forever, Revelations 21:4. And I hope that we would be able to, again, see that, to cling on to that promise, to cling on to that hope that, hey, you know what? The trials that we go through right now, the hardships that we go through right now, it's temporary, you know, compared to what is ahead of us, and that we can look forward to that. Another thing that the Apostle Paul writes, and he gives this analogy, is that we are, you know, these jars of clay. Give you guys some background on this. Back in the olden times, the Old Testament times, the priests and people, they would write the manuscripts, right? They would write down the scriptures and stuff. They put them on parchment, and they put them in these jars of clay as a holding, right? So these are the, you know, God's words, the things that you, the precious things that you kind of hold on to, and they put them in these jars of clay. Now, as you guys might know, jars of clay are pretty fragile. They can break, and they it's only a temporary kind of a holding for these scriptures. And Paul kind of makes this analogy, and he says, you know, that we are like jars of clay, right? We have Christ who's in us, but our bodies is only a temporary thing, and they're fragile, they can be broken, but it's okay, because there's something greater that we, and so this is the verse that he says in 2 Corinthians 4, 7-10, he says, but we have this treasures in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body of the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our own bodies. Again, we cling on to what Christ has done, that power kind of living in us, so that we can be able to move forward in that. Paul also writes this, and I'm going to give you guys just a bunch of kind of passages and stuff. He says this in 2 Corinthians 4:16. He says, so we do not lose heart, though it is our outer self that is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are unseen are transient or temporary, temporal. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So again, even though our bodies are suffering, even though we go through these times, right, we cling on to, we look forward to, again, that hope that we have in the future, cling on to that promise that we will be with Christ eternal, you know, with him, with God eternally in heaven. And that's what we are holding on to in the midst of our suffering. At the same time, I know this is difficult, and so again, we have a hope of the resurrection. This is the hope of the gospel that is promised to us, okay? That death is defeated, right? Sin is forgiven, right? Eternal life is ours through Jesus Christ, right? This is all what we have. And so, you know, what sets us apart as Christians, this is what Sister says, what sets us apart as Christians is not the absence of suffering, but it's the hope in suffering, right? We have this hope. We have a future hope that we are holding on to, that we are clinging on to. Again, I know that if you're in the middle of it right now, or recently going through something, it's hard. Okay? It's hard to say, well, I'm just looking forward to the future, and again, this right now doesn't matter. It does matter, and it is hard, and it is tough. But hopefully that we can see, hey, again, there is, you know, something that we can look forward to. And also to know, again, what Bob was saying this morning as we lean the song, that Christ has gone through it. Christ has gone through all the suffering as well, and that we can, he knows, he understands, so we can go to him, right? We can be able to know that, hey, somebody is there for us, and that we can, you know, bring our burdens to, bring our sufferings to, bring our hardships to, and know that he cares, he understands, and that he can give you peace and hope during this time of difficulty. And so the encouragement for you guys, if you guys are going through this, is this, okay? It says, therefore, my brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your Lord, and your in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And also this one, this is one of my favorite verses. Not that I've already attained this, or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it on my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straying forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who think of us who are mature think this way, and if anything think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And so, again, press on, you know, forward, even though it's difficult right now, to keep moving forward, to see that, hey, there is this hope that we have in Christ. We kind of come back to this verse that sister talks about, and he says this. He says, again, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, right, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort ourselves receive from God. My hope is this, that each one of you guys would be able to really embrace this idea that you want to be comforters to others. All of us have gone through something. Again, some of us have suffered greater things, right, than others. But we can all still, hopefully, have experienced the comfort that God has given us. And the encouragement that Paul gives is that, hey, you guys are the ones, right, that can be comforters to others, right? You guys are the ones that, because you have experienced comfort first, go and comfort others, right? You know what is, you've been through it, right? Try and be there for others who have been there. When I was in college, one of my good friends, he went through, you know, a time of suffering as well. His mom passed away in a car accident. It was, you know, again, unexpected. It was, you know, something that he was, you know, he wasn't expecting. And it was tough, right? But the great thing that could have come out from this, as great as it could have been, is that the community of people, you know, the friends, the church, really came together, you know, was really there for him, to support him, to pray for him, to, again, walk alongside with him. And, you know, it was a process, you know, and he had to go through that. But he had that support, right? He had one another, peoples there with him. And there were people, again, who have also lost, you know, loved ones, and again, situation is different, but they're able to at least, you know, they're even closer to understanding his needs and his situation. So they were able to really speak into his life. And I hope that would be that for us again, all right? That we would be these people, look out for one another, really understand each other, really see, is somebody suffering out there? Let's reach out to them, right? Let's ask them, let's pray for them, let's walk with them, be alongside with them through this whole process. And encourage them to see the hope, right? The hope that we have that is in Christ. I'm going to pray. Actually, go through. We have a prayer thing, and then I'm going to ask the praise band to come up. Let's go ahead and shift that over. All right. This side. Prayers of the people. Let's go ahead and flip that up. That's still my slide. All right. I'll read my part, the Chris part. Holy Spirit, who guides us and sustains us, Hear our prayers this day. We know that the many ways in which we have failed to do the task which you have set before us. Our fears and doubt lay claim our lives, and we shrink from the opportunities you give to us. Put our feet on the pathway of service, offering justice and peace to all people. Grant us the desire to comfort one another with your love. Let me go ahead and pray, and then I'll send worship. Father God, I want to thank you again just for your Son, Jesus Christ, who chose to become a man, who came to this earth and suffered along with us. He went through all the difficult things that we went through, but we thank you that he gives us hope, that he has died on the cross for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. He was resurrected again, and he showed us, he proved to us, that he has overcome death, he has overcome sin, he has overcome just any of these sufferings, and that we can cling on to that hope that we have in him. And I pray for us right here as a church, as believers, I pray that we would really be comforters to one another, that we would really be those who can come alongside each other and to encourage one another, to give them that peace, to encourage them to seek that hope that they have in you. And I pray for those right now who might be going through something difficult time. I pray that you would just, bring them peace and comfort in their hearts that only you can. That you would be able to encourage them, that you would be able to give them a hope, to say, no, that you have overcome all these difficult things, and there is a great hope in the future that we can cling on to. The promise that you have for us to be with you forever, and that there will be no more pain and suffering. So we cling on to that. We thank you again. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just stand with us.